From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Iraq's new interim government is up and running 2 days ahead of schedule. The transfer of political power came in a small ceremony, unannounced to the public until after it was over. The idea was to catch Iraqi insurgents off guard. Scores of unanswered questions remain about how the new government will work. For example, it's unclear how much say it will have in military matters, as some 150,000 international troops, mostly Americans, battle the tenacious insurgency. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage told NPR today that the new U.S. embassy and American troops will now partner with Iraqis and work hand in glove to meet the most pressing challenge, security.
All of our forces will absolutely be under American control. Iraqi forces can opt to, for specific purposes, be under the multinational force commander or separately.
But there is no clear blueprint on how that will work. There is no status of forces agreement. How the lines of communication and chains of command will work day-to-day on the ground remains unclear.
They are murky, and that's why personality rather than structure will be key.
Retired Army Major General William Nash says U.S. military commanders in Iraq will have to quickly forge close working relationships with the Iraqi ministers of defense, interior, and other Iraqi leaders. Otherwise, daily tensions could arise over when and where anti-insurgent operations should be conducted and just how large they should be. Nash, now at the Council on Foreign Relations, says the U.S. military faces the complex, challenging task of trying to lead Iraqi forces while remaining somewhat behind the scenes.
We use a phrase called leading from behind, and that's a very important attitude for the American and coalition forces to take. There's no question that American forces are going to defend themselves, but there is a question as to how aggressive Americans should be in day-to-day security operations.
For example, if a lieutenant colonel gets actionable intelligence on a suspected safe house for insurgents, will U.S. forces need high-level Iraqi approval to strike? Resolving those difficult operational decisions will lie partly in the fledgling Joint Iraqi-American Operations Center. At a recent hearing on Capitol Hill, Pennsylvania Republican Kurt Weldon pressed General Peter Pace and Deputy Defense Chief Paul Wolfowitz on what Weldon sees as confusion over just how the Joint Operations Center would work.
So the answer to the chairman's question is that you haven't arrived at a modus operandi between the Iraqi sovereign government and yourselves as to how you're going to conduct military operations.
I would not say it that way, sir.
You don't have to say it that way. I just said it. Is that correct or not?
No, it's not correct. When they operate in joint operations, they are under the command of the multinational force commander, which means the American commander. Joint Operations Center is to coordinate so that the forces operate together in a coherent way. They have the authority.
Who's in charge of the unified command? All you got to do is answer the question.
The multinational force commander, who is an American general at the moment.
So the Americans are still in charge. That's the answer.
In a boost to the White House, the NATO alliance today agreed to an Iraqi request to help train its security forces. Last year's rushed training and equipping of Iraqis continues to haunt U.S. military operations in Iraq, as many Iraqis refused to fight, fled, or were simply outgunned. Now the job of improving their effectiveness is in the hands of Lieutenant General David Petraeus. Dan Serwer, the head of stability operations at the U.S. Institute of Peace, says no one should expect that much from Iraqi security for months, if not years.
We're facing a really quite clever, well-equipped enemy in the insurrection, and to confront it is going to require the kind of firepower and the kind of discipline that the Americans have and those Iraqi security forces simply can't have yet. David Petraeus is brilliant, but he's not a miracle worker. He's going to need some time.
And it's likely to take even more time to build capable Iraqi security leadership and a coherent chain of command. One former U.S. commander said today, "Now when bullets start to fly, it'll take great judgment and skill on the part of mid-level officers to understand that there's a greater issue at stake here, building a legitimate Iraqi government, and not get sucked into some small fight in one part of Iraq." Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.